Hi, I'm Jim Schlexer. I'm a results leader. Let's have some fun.
You're listening to ResultsLeader.fm. Being a thought leader is easy. Getting results is hard. This show is for the results leader who lives and dies by their results. Here is your host and chief results leader, Jonathan Rivera.
Yes, yes, y'all. It's time once again for another ResultsLeader.fm. Welcome back. And I want to jump into this thing without any delay. This is one of the most fun interviews I have ever done on the show. My guest is Mr. Jim Schlexer, CEO of Inc. CEO Project. Yeah, Inc. The Inc. you know. We are going to geek out about some old school mindset, sales training, and growth. Let's jump in. Jim, welcome to the show. So glad you're here. Glad to be speaking again. Are you ready to rock this thing?
Let's do this. Appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Let's give our listeners a quick win. What book or books have you given most as a gift?
Yeah, well, number one on my list is Great CEOs Are Lazy, the book that I wrote. I've probably given out hundreds of those, and it has made a profound difference in an awful lot of people's lives. I will give you one other one that I didn't write that I've been using lately, and it's called Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. It's a great book because it talks about that essentially you're part of the problem. If you're in a relationship, business, or personal, or whatever, and you don't like the way it's going, you got to own that, right? And there are times and seasons where it's time for things to end, and that's okay. And I'll give you an example. I just sent it to somebody who has had two business partners who are just complete hanger-oners. I mean, just no value creation. And they're just very happy to let him do all the work and make them a lot of money. And I'm like, dude, like, this has got to end. And they're like, ah, and he had loyalty and all. And they were with me in the beginning, all the stuff that everybody has. He read the book. The next Monday, he calls me, goes, all right, let's do this. Let's get rid of him. And it was time, and he just needed to see it. So it's a great book to help you, like, all right, it's time for that to end, and that's okay.
All right. Now, I want you to tell us a story of how an apparent failure set you up for later success.
Well, the most obvious one is my last corporate gig. So I was running a fairly large company, publicly traded. They brought in a new CEO above me, and I was actually a candidate for that job, you know, billion-dollar international company. Long story short, 60 days later, I was fired. So, you know, I wasn't the right flavor of ice cream, and that's okay. That's sort of an occupational hazard at that level. But after a bit of contemplation, I opened up my CEO advisory business, which is the business I run now. And I've been doing that for 16 years now, and it is the perfect place for me. And so, you know, I wasn't particularly stressed about the exit. I was kind of hoping something like this would come together, and it did. And it's been phenomenal. It's kind of my forever job, I think.
When you say you were hoping for something like this, were you hoping to strike it out on your own? I know you weren't hoping to get fired.
Well, you know, it solved two problems. You know, if I wasn't going to be the CEO of that company, there wasn't a future. So that's one problem that it solved. I was probably going to have to leave, although I hadn't quite, that dime hadn't dropped yet. And the other is I was just traveling my brains out, and I had young boys, and I was really feeling the lack of presence as a dad. And so when the end happened, I'm like, all right, this is a good thing because we're going to find something different, and I'll be very picky about what it is so that it solves the low travel, high availability with the kids, makes me enough money, lets me have an impact, all the things I wanted. And what I do now did that. And so I was able to be super present as my boys grew up. And that would not have happened had, you know, I not been fired from the prior job. So, and then by the way, every time I looked at another corporate gig, I'm like, how is this different? It'll be the same exact problem. And that's what made me do my own thing. I was oriented anyway, so it worked out great.
I hear you saying, not in so many words, but lifestyle design. You were about getting the lifestyle you wanted rather than what corporate America was trying to give to you, which I respect, buddy.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I was a wimp though, right? Let's be fair. I waited till I had accumulated enough wealth to make that a lower risk move, right? I didn't need money for an extended period of time because I had sort of kiddied together enough dough. That's the wimp's way out. You know, the guys that I respect, they got obligations and they go for it and they don't have the money. Like, wow, That is a gutsy move. And so I took I did it the wimpy way, to be fair.
All right, let's talk about investments. What would you say is the most worthwhile investment you have ever made?
Well, maybe it's the obvious answer, but I've invested in myself. You know, if you think you have potential and you're thinking about where to invest, go long on yourself, right? And go long on yourself means invest in the knowledge, skills, education, experiences that you need to achieve your maximum potential. And, you know, I got to say, I've never stopped doing that, but that has been my consistent investment. I'll always take the new opportunity. I'll always take the new learning chance. I'll always take the education with a view towards deploying it and creating more impact.
Okay. So you were in corporate America all those years, and then you struck it out on your own. Was this investment in yourself going on in corporate America, or is this something you figured out after you left?
Both. So I'm a little bit of a freak, but you know, I was probably the number one customer of Nightingale Conan.
Right?
Maybe I wasn't number one, maybe you were, but I listened to everybody, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, Gunther Klaus, Mike Vann. I mean, all of them, hundreds. And so I would buy them. I'd listen to them. I'd learn. I taught myself accounting in my car. And that was all while I was in corporate America. I got an MBA. Now they paid for that. So happy, happy. But even within corporate America, the opportunity was when they said, hey, we got this weird thing. We need somebody to go do it. I'm like, me, right? Because I'll learn stuff, right? Maybe I'll fail. Maybe I won't. But I'll be better because I did that experience. So I was always teeing up for either the big job in corporate America or go out on my own through all of that set, right?
So that's where it was. All right. I'm a huge fan of Burl Nightingale, by the way. Strangest Secret. You know, I love that guy. And nobody ever mentions him. It's like lost.
And if you look at my business, it's based on Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, read by Earl Nightingale with that wonderful deep voice he had.
Yes.
I also read Dale Carnegie. I mean, all these guys, you know, they're on the team, you know?
So was that then... Do you think that was stoking the entrepreneurial fire? Because you were doing that, and they teach you just a different way of thinking, being an individual and bringing a contribution that maybe you can't bring inside of that structure.
Yeah. Well, two elements. I always believed create the value and the money works out. People don't think that. They're like, give me the money, then I'll show you what I can do. I'm like, no, I'll play the part, get the job. I'll do the work. I'll create the value. The money will work out. And I always said, either it works out here, or it works out at my next place. Either they'll figure it out or I'll make it happen, one of the two, because they own the job, I own the career, is the way I would say it. What really triggered me on the entrepreneurial stuff was two things. One is, I remember I was buying a company in this corporate environment, and they had two guys owned it. I was about to stroke them both a check for, I don't know, $5 or $6 million. And I'm like, look at this. These guys work. They play a lot of golf. They're not very smart. They take vacation for a month every winter. I'm way smarter and better than them. And I go, wait a minute. I just wrote them a check for $6 million. I think I may be the dumb one here, right? So that was one. I'm like, and this is going to sound horrible, but you don't have to be a super genius to be an entrepreneur. Good, normal, smart, hardworking people can be really successful. And then I was in a peer group, CEO peer group. Many of those people were entrepreneurs. And I watched how successful they were and how much they worked, which was maybe about as much as I did, but they were way more successful financially, lifestyle, all of the above, right? Sort of a whole circle of a balanced life. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong here, right? I'm killing myself. I'm not having the financial outcome they are. I've got an unbalanced home life. Like, this is a bad game I'm playing. And so when the end came, I'm like, this is not a bad thing. It's an okay thing. So those were the two. Beyond all the stuff I'd pumped into my head earlier, as you indicated.
You know what you reminded me of? Create value. Create the value and the money works out. It reminds me of Earl Nightingale. Give me fire and then I'll give you wood. That whole bit. Like, yeah, I know you got to put something in there, buddy. Yeah. So let's move on because I will nerd out on that all day.
I'll go deep on this stuff with you.
In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Well, maybe two, and they're completely juxtaposed. One is no defines you. So that is, we think what defines us is what we do, and actually what defines us is what we choose not to do. And so the willingness to understand when to say no and don't do it is really, really powerful. And that is what defines the you. So that's one. And then within the you, and maybe I've always believed this, but you have infinite capacity. People are so, I don't know, protective with their time, worried about burn. I just don't get it. But I tell people I have infinite capacity. They go, do you have time? I always have time. I can always get it done. Like there is no, no. When I want to do it, there is no, no. And so there's just, I meet a lot of people that like they're, well, I do this thing. You've got the seeds of greatness, right? You've got so much potential inside you. Why don't you do more? And they're like, meh, it's me. And I'm like, man, you're only on this earth for so many years. You got to decide, right? So those two things, be clear about what the no's are and stick with it because it defines you. And within the yes is infinite capacity. Those would be the two beliefs.
I can tell you've listened to a lot of Nightingale Conan. Quotables. Yeah. I'm like, whoop, pull that one. Yeah, we got to get those clips.
Don't tell people where I get my stuff, man.
What are some bad recommendations you hear in your area of expertise?
Very aligned to the earlier conversation we had about create the value and the money comes. Many CEOs that I run into are making decisions to position their business for sale. So they're always like, well, will a buyer want this or not? Or should I do this? Would a buyer value this? Or with a little bit of that's okay. But fundamentally, the answer is this. Build a great business, create an immense amount of value, the money works out. Don't worry about it, right? And so if you're consumed by the positioning for sale, you miss creating the great business in many ways. And I could get into details, but just forget about that. Don't worry about it. You will do better in the long run by optimizing the great business and maximum impact equation. Don't worry about the, did I do the right thing that the buyer is going to like stuff. So that would be the one bad piece of advice. Position for sale. No. Position for great business.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program for a public service announcement. We're going to get right back into the show, but I wanted to ask you a question. If you have been listening to the show for any amount of time and you've picked up even one single tip, then I need your help. Get the word out. Tell people about ResultsLeader.fm. Share it on social media. Share it on your email. Share it anywhere. Hashtag ResultsLeaderFM. Now let's jump back into the interview. Jim, why do results matter?
Because the converse doesn't make any sense. So the converse would be results aren't important. And I go, well, what kind of world is that, right? I don't understand that world even. Like of course you have to have results, right? Of course you have to have progress. Humans are expansive, progressive creatures. You know, results and growth are in our DNA in a very fundamental way. And so no results equals no growth, which equals death in my book. So why results? Because the other option is death, entropy death, energy death. Sit on your couch and want Netflix until they put you in the ground. I can't even understand the question. You know what I mean? Because there is no other answer.
Well, that's because we are in like-minded company.
Perhaps.
So let's think back over the last 5 years. What new realization has helped you get better results for your clients?
Well, there are certain kinds of businesses that now I'm going to go back to business valuation, though I didn't talk about it before. I said, don't think about it. But there are certain kinds of businesses that are, in my estimation, as a fundamental investor, I'm more of a Warren Buffett-y kind of, you know, thinker. There are businesses that don't make sense if you think like that. Software as a service being one of them. And for a long time, I go, look, that doesn't make sense. It's a bubble. It doesn't make sense. Well, it's been long enough that I go, all right, I clearly don't understand something here, right? And so I've spent enough time to understand how people decide. I still think they're overvalued, but at least I get why they believe they should pay that much and it's okay. And we've been able to guide clients into models that look like that, that will be well valued when they do finally exit. So they're good value for clients. There's a lot of reason why they're good for clients. They're good for the deliverer. So it meets the first premise of deliver value. Long-term, when it's time to sell, it'll deliver more value to the owner. So that was the big learning for me. Why are these? Now, I was always a big recurring revenue guy. huge recurring revenue guy, wrote a lot of articles about it, blah, blah, blah. So this is the ultimate recurring revenue business, modelable, predictable, and that's why they'll pay ultimately.
I love me some recurring revenue.
Oh my gosh. I tell people, I said, if you tell me one thing about your business, I can tell you whether it's a good business or not. What percentage of your revenue is recurring revenue? Not repeat, recurring, predictable revenue. They go 80%. I said, you got a good business.
Yeah. Right?
10%. I'm sorry
not
for
so
you.
Not so much.
It's a tough slog, man.
Oh, man. So let's turn this inward for a second. What area of your business would you like better results?
So, you know, we work with CEOs, and that is at the moment a relatively handcrafted relationship because it's intimate. It's inside the tent. It's high trust. And you can't form them quickly. And we've not yet figured out how to deliver them, develop them, meaning turn people into clients in a mass scale. So the short answer is, if I was talking to more qualified, potentially interested CEOs, I'd land more clients. That's my point of constraint. So if I can open up the number of high quality, coachable, high performing CEOs that don't think they have all the answers and want a great mastermind group around them, if I was talking to 500 more of those a year, I'd land way more clients. So that is like the one thing I changed. Nothing else stops me from growing except for that.
What results are you most proud of?
You know, someday I'll have to add up all the wealth I've helped create for and for how many people, but it's the advice we've given, the people we've been able to impact have created hundreds of millionaires and positively benefited in terms of having a better work environment and a better growth trajectory for the place they are. And growth rate equals opportunity rate, right? So if you're in a company that's growing, there's opportunity for you. So the fact that we help the organizations grow creates opportunity for the 500, 200,000 people that work in that company. And we think about our impact in terms of positively impacting a million lives through our work. So we impact the CEO who impacts people that work with them. That's how we're going to get, and we're at about 200,000 that we currently help, right? So that's good. I'd love to get to a million. So that's would be cool too. So lots of people, positive impact, economic, better lives through the work we do. That's what turns me on. That's super cool.
Any parting thoughts you want to share with the listeners as we're coming to the close here?
Well, you know, particularly in this, for this kind of interview, you know, it brings me back to some of our Nightingale Conant stuff. And I tell people this all the time. Like, God gave you a limiter, right? And God will never put trouble in front of you that you can't handle because it's within you to handle it, or it wouldn't be in front of you. There is no impossible there. And on the positive side, if you can believe it, you can achieve it, right? I said, if you can conceptualize something, it is within you to go achieve it. So people that dream and go, yeah, but that's not for me, baloney, baloney. If you can think it up, you can get it done. You just got to put the effort in. And I think that's the one part of the equation that people miss. And if you hear really wealthy people talking, really successful people, they go, you're going to have to work. Like, this is not a 40, if you want success, it's not a 40-hour week. It's a 60, 70-hour week. If that means you work at night so you can do your kid's baseball game, so be it. That's how it works. If you want big success, you got to do the work. But if you can believe it, the pathway's there, do the work and you can achieve it.
All right. There is no question that our listeners are going to want more from you. Where can they go?
Well, that would be fun.
Where can they go get more from you, Jim?
They can hit our website, Inc., I-N-C. We're affiliated with Inc. Magazine, incceoproject.com. You can grab my book, Great CEOs Are Lazy. And if you want a fun book, I wrote a book about professional entertaining called Professional Drinking. And you can learn how to entertain your clients with style and feel confident around a wine list. And so that's more of a fun book I did as well. But grab either of those or hit the website and you can get a hold of us that way.
Very cool. We will share links in the show notes. We've been speaking with Jim Schlexer. I obviously enjoyed this for my own selfish reasons. I know you guys enjoyed it. So come back next time and we'll have more fun. Results Leader FM out. That is a wrap for another edition of ResultsLeader.fm. If you are out there getting results for your clients and you want to be featured on the show, go to ResultsLeader.fm now and apply to be on the show. And if you love what you're hearing, share the show, give us a rating and review, do anything to help us get the message out there. Thought leadership is easy, but results leadership is hard. We'll catch you on the next one. We'll
This is the PodcastFactory.com.